This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Hi, how's everybody doing? We're here live from Dallas, Texas. I'm here with the one, the only, Prophet of Zod.
Hello.
We are sharing a couple of beers here, sir. And Steve.
Yeah, I'm sort of here. I'm here in spirit. But I think you're breaking up a little bit, Dave. Is that a stable connection? Do we have them on set feed? Are they on the other side of the planet, or is the Earth flat? We're not getting connection. Oh, they're on Holiday Express Wi-Fi.
No, but
Marriott. Okay. Well, the
internet.
They got the upgrade. Before we start, I have one question that I've been dying to ask because I know everybody wants to know this. Zod, can you do me a favor? Can you look over to Kyle's crotch and he's wearing pants because this is might be the first time in the history of the show he's actually wearing pants during a live stream.
This is true.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Okay, good.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We welcome.
Oh, hey. Awesome. Yes, look who we have here.
You're welcome.
Yeah, come on in.
For real?
Yeah, we just started. We have
anyone come in.
We have from Truth Wanted. Objectively, Dan.
Is it cool?
Cosmic Skeptic is Cosmic Skeptic is coming in. Hi. Yeah, come on in. And this and the film crew is also here. So very cool.
Sweet.
Simply what we're doing, like we're having people come in just to sort of like ask for an question. Cosmic Skeptic, can you come in?
Oh yeah, sure, right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd recognize that accent anywhere. Hey Alex.
Hey, how's it going, Steve? You're right.
So, we are down here at Faithless Forum in Dallas, and we just got through with a meeting for tomorrow, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great fun. Yeah.
What are you looking forward to the most?
I think one of the greatest things is having all of these people all in the same place.
Absolutely.
With a bunch of these people before the speakers and panelists, I mean. But like they're not pixelated, you know, like they're actually, yeah, I can shake their hand and it's crazy and to have them all kind of mixing and matching the different panels and stuff. That's going to be great fun.
Absolutely. What about you?
It's just fun meeting everybody already, even now, mixing and meeting with people you've just seen on screen. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, just getting to meet subscribers and everybody's showing up. It's a really good time. So yeah. Last one was fun. I look forward to this one too.
We're either as sort of like general about people's height, I guess. And when you come out and you actually meet. So Dan is a giant.
He is indeed.
He's like 6 foot tall. And
6'5", yeah.
6'5". Oh! This is awesome. This is like a YouTube super stream come live. So yeah, what we're going to be doing tomorrow is we are going to be having different panels. They're going to be moderated by various people. Shannon has been dubbed the...
I'm the
conference mom. And today, I have to tell the story. We Aaron has been talking up this ghost pepper crab for a week. And even the smell, like literally.
Is it bad?
Yes. I could smell it.
You didn't do it, did you, Kyle?
No.
Oh, you could smell the heat.
You didn't do it.
But
sure, I'm the only one here who did.
Oh, you did it?
Paul, did you really?
Well, I had some of the corn, just to, you know, because
you had corn.
I don't know what the stupid sauce.
What a man!
But Cyrus was sitting there, dipping it, like dunking it, and eating like it was nothing. No change of face.
That's impressive to me.
Nothing.
I feel like I'm gonna try it.
I don't think he's human.
I would try it.
I think he got a blessing from Ocean before, and then.
That is true.
Ocean did some of that pagan magic.
He did that magic on
that. That is true. So we were just talking, what are you, Dan, looking forward to the most for tomorrow?
Man, I love being here with everybody. You know, like, I've been to a couple different, can we get the camera over here?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to other atheist conferences before, and it's cool to see other people in, like, you know, eating chat and stuff, but these are people I've been talking to for a long time, months and months, and it's like, it's here right now, and it's just, it's fun, like, it's just like, having long-distance friendship Skype right here, right now, and it's a blast. I gotta say, it's the best part. You know?
And we know what yours is gonna be.
What's mine gonna be, Kyle? You tell me what it is. What is it?
Paul.
Oh,
screen
there,
Paul. Paul's awfully cute. Look at this. We're seeing them on stream together.
Oh. See, they're not the same person. See, they are two distinct individuals. Yay.
You and the three of us Arts. Together on the screen. Wow.
Arts.
Wait, is Steve on here?
I know. Right?
Yeah. Hey, I got. Yes, I'm actually in the other room here. Can you tell?
Things about people.
I'm in the conference there.
Is there an agnostic on here?
So,
hey, Dave, you can hang up on him now.
So, you came across from overseas. How was the trip?
Right. It was awful. My ear is still blocked, but probably worth it. And I also have exams now and essays due to get back.
That's cool. So what was it that was important enough for you to make the trip with all that going on? Like, what is it about this conference?
Well, you know, I couldn't make it last year, and that was because I was getting exams to get me into uni. Now I've got exams at uni. It's a slightly different experience. I can kind of speak to my tutors and get them to rearrange things, which they did. I just thought it was unmissable, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it's the conference itself, which is great. Like, it's really nice to see so many coming together and talking about a whole wide range of issues as well. But for me personally, it's just a great opportunity to come here and meet all you guys and hang out and get to know you a bit more personally, because when you do a collaboration or something, oftentimes you'll like share a video, you've spoken on Twitter, and you DM'd, and you feel like you know people, but not that well. After you've hung out a few times, it's so much easier to collaborate, to like cross-reference each other, to kind of start doing events together and things like Steve, Rationality Rules, because he's in London and I know him personally, and we sort of meet up in person quite a bit. He's like my go-to guy. We talk all the time about videos and ideas, and we bump them off each other and things like that. And it's just because we're able to do it kind of in person, we can like actually hang out. I just wanted to get that experience with all the kind of, because it's very American based, this group of people.
You and Rationality Rules too, in that garden. That's a simple place.
Yeah. Well, that was mainly out of necessity, you know, because I didn't have the space to record anything new, but I've got a new space now, like a podcast studio. I got an episode with him coming out soon, actually.
Very cool.
So lots more long form conversations in the work. I just recorded an episode with Matt today. Spoke to him for like 2 hours about animal ethics.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Because recently you became a vegan, correct?
That's right, yeah.
How is that going?
It's going wonderfully. I can look at myself in the mirror again.
Okay, so when you decided to do that, what was it about the argument of, because I feel the same way, sort of, where it's kind of hypocritical of me, because I see the treatment of animals, yet I can't break away from eating meat. How did you make that sort of transition, and was it hard?
It's actually far easier than I thought it would be. I'll tell you what it was. The ethical argument for me is impenetrable, but I think you do need something of an emotional motivation to actually get yourself to practically do it. And the thing for me, I wish I'd have known that my last Mighty Bucket from KFC was going to be my last Mighty Bucket. I would have enjoyed it so much.
That's deep.
I didn't make a decision like, this is going to be my last meal and I'm going to go vegan. What happened was, I was on my way into town, and I was going to go to Costa, get a bacon bap, like a sausage bap and a latte and write a speech. And on my way in, I'm on the bus, and it sounds strange, but this cat tried to cross the road, right? And the bus kind of zips past it, and the cat's terrified of the bus, right? So because I'm on the bus, when the cat looks at the bus, it looks at me. And I just see this cat looking right at me, backing away in fear. I can just see in its eyes, just terrified of this bus, right? Just
wow.
Right in front of his face. And I just looked at this animal backing away in fear, and I thought, what the hell am I doing?
Wow.
And that morning, instead of going and getting that sausage back from Costa, I just went and had a vegan breakfast instead. And then I was like, well, I may have eaten lunch too and see if I can keep this up, and I haven't touched any animal products since.
Wow.
And the thing is, that kind of emotional came out of nowhere for me. The reason that was able to work was because as soon as I was kind of on that track, I'd already been convinced by the ethical argument for God knows how long.
Sure.
And so it was so easy to then stay on that track. And it's also much easier to actually argue in favor of veganism now that I'm not doing it over like a sausage and bacon filling for breakfast, which I've done before. You know, I speak to friends and a lot of the time they end up agreeing with me and they say, yeah, man, we've got to change this. And then we finish our meals of meat and eggs. And I just eventually had to kind of come to terms with my views and act in a...
So if last question on that, if are there the root, I guess the myths or whatever that is associated with one being like you're weak or you don't have the energy that you see, are you affected by any of that? Or
I mean look, so if you mean physically speaking, like you get a lot of hate mail from doing this kind of stuff, or hate comments, I'd say, like,
sure,
people this guy made a response to me. These kind of people from this kind of meat eating community that's cropped up out of nowhere, and they tend to be really really odd videos they make. This guy talking nonsense, really, and the commenters are all saying things like, "He already looks like a vegan." He's if anybody's gonna, and the craziest thing, right, with like nutrition, and people are like, "You're gonna get weak. You're not gonna be able to sustain yourself." And I thought, look, I have never in my entire life had somebody say, hey, man, are you getting enough iron? But as soon as you stop eating animal products, everybody cares about your nutrition. Like, are you getting enough protein? Are you getting enough B12? Like,
yeah.
As if I was worrying about that anyway.
Sure.
You know, not a chance. And it's way easier than you think. People worry about protein. You don't actually need that much protein. What you want to worry about is like the micro, the micronutrients that you need less of, but all the different ones. And it's so easy now. you can get your protein from practically like anywhere. You can get B12 is put into all kinds of vegan cheeses, and it's put into like soy milk, almond milk, that kind of thing. It's like if you have a latte, and you know, I used to go to Costa, and which is like Starbucks in the UK, I guess, and I saw one day that they were doing these new vanilla almond lattes, which were kind of nice. So I started drinking that. I was drinking it for ages, and it took me ages to realize that what they meant by that was a vanilla latte with almond milk. I was drinking a vegan, I didn't even notice, and I realized that's probably the same, in the same way that I just swapped that milk for the plant-based sure. milk. Just do the same thing with your burger patty, and then do the same thing with like the milk that you have with your breakfast, whatever. And you just, every single thing that you think you're going to miss, there's an alternative for. And the craziest thing is, the ethical argument is so strong in favor of it that even if it were the case that I would have to make eating a purely functional thing, and I hate all of my meals and they tasted horrible, and I was even like slightly like more tired and skinnier than all, then I'd still do it because the ethical argument is that strong. The fact of the matter is, it's not even that bad. The fact that we can do this and still have nice meals and still get the right nutrients, and still, you know, I'm not somebody who hits the gym much as it is, but if you want to, you can be that guy. And the fact that we can still do that stuff and act in line with ethics, I think, is something to celebrate, and is the reason why so many people are beginning to do it. And it's certainly the reason why I started it.
And I can't argue with anything you said, except for one thing. I don't think there is a substitute for bacon.
I agree. I second that.
And, you know, I do miss it. I do miss it. I'm not going to lie. Like, it does taste – you get a lot of vegans who say, like, you know, sure. Oh man, it tastes the same. Like nothing tastes nicer than meat. But like,
right, yeah.
I just you got to be aware of the suffering that it takes to get it.
Well, that's impressive. I mean, like I said, hats off to you for being able to do. I've been there and all the same thing. That, you know, I'm being hypocritical, but every time that I'm around, like, I mean, I just can't do it. I mean, you know, I'm not that. Even though I know I should, I just can't. So hats off to you for.
You know, I thought the same thing like a month or two ago, and eventually, I think it sounds like, you know, the ethical component is there for you, and it was for me for a very long time. It's gonna, you know, it's different for every person, but sure. There will be one kind of emotional motivation that might come out of nowhere. I don't know what it would take for different people, but right. Once that comes, because the ethical argument is already in place, it will probably be easier than you think.
I'm the kind of person that, you know, those Sarah McLachlan commercials with the animals. I die for the remote to turn it. Like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. So, where'd you fly in from?
Alaska.
Oh, my bad.
Where did I fly in from?
Yeah, some people may not want to say that on stream. I guess I should ask that first before I die.
You
can't. Everyone knows you can just walk up to Alaska and say, "Where is Zod?"
So I heard Zod was here.
Everyone in Alaska knows each other.
Yeah, okay. Just like, okay. We're not talking about where Zod's from. Okay. Wherever you are from, how was your trip?
Got on airplanes and sat on them. It was about as fun as usual.
Nice. Now, you had the best argument for kinds. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
As everybody knows, Kent Hovind is a somebody that we've had on when he debated Arn. And one of the sticking points was the kinds argument. Kent says that kinds are a thing. Arn tried to explain to him why they weren't, and that different kinds can't come from, you know, this kind. Can you kind of reiterate, and if you haven't seen the Zod video, you need to go watch it. Can you reiterate how you brilliantly broke that down?
Okay. I don't know if I could say it was brilliant, but...
It was.
Okay. Kyle, say it for you.
I'm just prompting you to say that again. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just made a conversation between two different people where someone was showing off his house and explaining renovations he'd made, and...
Whoever that actor was terrible.
Which one?
The one explaining the window.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Stop the call.
I think that was Vice Rhino, wasn't it?
Was it Vice Rhino?
Oh yeah.
I was confused. I thought you had to be insulting me, but
no,
I think I played
no,
that
no.
Well.
So you're just insulting yourself?
Yes, exactly.
We'll play ball.
I even made one to look like me, and my son's like, "Hey, that's you." But yes, anyway, Vice Rhino was showing off his house to me, or we were playing the characters, and he was explaining how he'd renovated some windows. And long story short, I was able to accept that he could change the size of a window or the opening. But then when he said he changed the window into a sliding glass door, I called him a liar and explained that windows can never become doors because they're different kinds of openings. And that,
I mean, that
was great.
Ken has stuck by that argument for
his slavery video is the best video.
Years. Actually,
the best. The slavery video is the best one.
No,
yes, it is.
No,
yes, it is.
No,
the Cain, I will punch you right now. Punch your face.
Because I was Cain.
No, because you were in it. Okay, well, fine. Yeah,
you need to say your thing.
I was in it.
What you always called the godless engineer.
Goat fucker.
Yeah. Yeah, but in that series, we're Kyle's parents.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Right. I am your mom.
See, this is where, like, problems lies, like, such a genius. Because it's the little things. He took the leaves that Adam and Eve wear, like you see in the paintings.
He made them maple leaves. I laughed
that's
so hard
really
when I saw that. There was tears coming down my eyes.
So how is it, you're the content creator that does videos where it's you in the, in the real life.
Yes.
And then you have a cartoon series. How do you have time to do both? And which do you like better?
I think I like the cartoons better. I enjoy, it's a lot of fun to put together, and I like getting different people's voices involved and stuff. And it's a very quick, succinct way, if you take the time and script it right, to put a lot of ideas and make them flow quickly instead of just expounding on them in a speech or whatever.
And your writing style is, like, I think everybody can agree, is just dead on. Like,
he cuts right through all of the minutiae and is, like, right down to the crux of the point. Like, all of them are, like, reductio ad absurd. Like, each one of those cartoons is just like, hey, here's a scenario where the exact same argument is taking place in real life in the way that we view things now. It's ridiculous, right? Look at it.
Yeah, they're very well written.
It's so great.
And like you have a talent, I think, for cutting through, like Shannon said, to show either the contradictions or where hypocrisy lies. But you do it in a way that is sort of like, I would say, South Park esque, where they're able to, and I mean that in the, like,
yeah,
a huge compliment. They're able to take something that's going on and really turn it into a different sort of situation that people can sort of relate to, like the Kynes thing. But you did a thing with Jimmy and the Mormons.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant. What is the most shocking thing that you've learned in your entire, since you've been doing YouTube, like whether it be the Mormon thing or going after, you know, various, like Dr. Butts? What's been the most shocking claim that you've heard?
Boy, it's hard to remember the last time I've been shocked by an apologist.
Good point.
Because it all just sounds the same and you get jaded by it. But the Mormon thing is the only new thing I've heard. So I think...
That seemed deep.
Yeah, I think the fact that they literally thought Jesus came back twice to explain things in two different ways, and that everything in the U.S. literally got turned over in earthquakes and stuff. Like, I don't know. It's hard to really think that that's actually stranger than fundamentalist Christianity, but it's stranger to me. It's different. So,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
The summary, though. How is the submarine, like, Jesus coming back twice? I'm like, I can hand wave that off. But them having a submarine that they use the light from the mountain to drive across. And then everybody gets a planet! Everybody gets
a good
planet.
Deal. You
let's
can't turn
everyone.
It down.
Let's talk about how things went the other night.
What other night?
Point to yourself. Where are you pointing? With the rank camera.
My nose. I'm pointing to my nose.
How do... I don't know if you've seen the comments, but...
No, I haven't. I've been so busy. Why? Is it intense?
It was well, it's about 20%, like, really bad. Like his people.
Like every video I've ever posted on YouTube.
Did you watch
ever.
The stream that he did after leaving you and I?
No, you sent it to me this morning, but I was at airport.
Okay, let me give you the TLDR. Now,
okay.
He had three people in there, right? He had a guy named, like, Fourth Amendment person, and then this lady named Jenny. Now, Jenny seems super sweet, but she called me a demon. Demon seed, I believe.
She called you a demon.
Right. And and you're fallen.
I'm fallen,
right.
But I'm not a demon. Point for me.
Now here's some context.
Okay.
This is in defense of a person that we had on that we were talking to.
Right.
That literally said that Beyonce.
What an energy
was
vampire.
An energy vampire. This was his proof. She comes out to do it. Give me your energy.
Right. And that is her literally taking their energy.
Right,
right. Like Dragon Ball Z.
Right. That's the question that I asked. I said, okay, when she does.
Sometimes I don't know about my life, Kyle.
When she says
ever since I met you, it got weird.
What's the transition? what are people? Okay, you heard her. Like, what are you
here's my
some
energy.
Kind of carbon tax.
And like, why does she have to ask for it if she's capable of sucking energy out of people? I've thought about this more than I really even fucking need to. But like, if she's capable of sucking energy out of people, why does she need to ask for them to be like, here you go?
Yeah.
Why can't she just suck the energy out of
Rand people? Rand Campbell was a guy that came on and he broadcasted from the Amazon rainforest in a hut. Was he not? There's not. He showed it like he's in the Amazon rainforest. There's this like stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. He said that he went out there because he needed to get humble.
Right, and then he had a self-congratulatory stream right after.
Afterwards, two hours. It was. Rand kept saying, "Well, I think we can say with confidence what's wrong with being sexual."
You said that on the stream.
Yes. Yes.
Rand, stop being such a dick. God.
During your stream, he just kept calling you well-dressed.
I know.
At one point in time, he said you wouldn't know what it was like to be a girl. Yeah, like, you know about that, Kyle. And I was like, apologize.
That was the funny thing, because he kept saying, Kyle, you look, I mean, look, obviously your dad raised you well. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, look, you dress real nice. And I'm like,
yeah, because that's a good sign.
That's
because
I'm gay. I spent a lot of time in the closet. All right?
I got to pick out some outfits while I'm in there, right? Yeah,
yeah, but he said that this is why the Bible says that that's an abomination. It's because you have people like Kyle who believe the way that he did. And he didn't like the fact that I pushed back on the island thing. He thought he had me dead to right. Okay, if you're on an island and it catches on fire, I build you a bridge.
Oh, yeah, that was so ridiculous.
I build you a bridge. He's making the analogy of the dog. But I said, yes, but the difference is, in that scenario, you lit the island on fire, and then you built me a bridge. You put me on the island.
And it's an invisible bridge that you can't see. Right. And I just have to walk randomly and be like, maybe this is where the bridge is.
You expect me to worship you because you set the island on fire, and then you built me a bridge as my only way out. And you hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amongst all the other bridges that lead nowhere.
But more importantly, I will kill you.
Wait, like 5G as in wireless?
Yes. He said that the murder of that what was his name? Nipsey? That was a distraction to distract people away from their unveiling 5G.
Right.
That's no.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes. Yeah. I was there. It happened.
Steve.
And I was so upset.
Why is Rand Campbell the way he is? You're old friends with Rand. What's going on with Rand?
I am thoroughly convinced that Rand is a Poe. He is a commensurate con artist. He came into the community as a con artist. He has history of literally being a con artist. That's not even hyperbole. He was, before he came into the community, a con artist, and he was a pimp. He literally had hookers working for him. So nothing he says, I take it with a grain of salt. Like, matter of fact, years ago, people may not remember this, but I remember the history. He had actually argued one time that he was in a fight with an anaconda and it started to swallow him. He had to fight his way out with a knife, and this was in Africa. Yeah, wait, it gets better. We had explained to him, or they had explained to him, that anacondas are not in Africa, they're in South America, to which he said, well, yes, I realize that, but it was an anaconda that escaped from a local zoo. This is what I do not believe a damn thing that he says, okay? I am not making this history up. You can go validate this with other people that have been in the community for a long while. He is a commensurate liar.
He wouldn't agree to come on
list. Well, that's because I'm nice to people.
And how many times did he say, oh, I just think you're a lovely person?
I'm a lovely person, Kyle.
You have a guy in the Amazon rainforest, but we're not like, saying you're just a lovely person.
My dreams have come true.
He's an energy vampire. The thing is, like, I can see him being a parent. I can totally see him like saying something like giving in. What shut me down from him though is when he said, "I trained Russian kids."
I know, and G-Man, I was like, yes. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop it right now.
Somebody pointed out that did you hear what he said though about G-Man, the racial comment?
No, because my brain was spinning 100 miles a minute.
Either till later, but he said sometimes somebody needs to smack G-Man in the ass.
Oh my God, in heaven.
Yes.
No.
Now, this is his friend that he says, his friend. He said that about his
that's Christian his friends.
Friend. Yeah.
Well, and G-Man doesn't need any enemies. He's making them.
So the next question, though, Shannon, is how do we top that?
Why do you fucking want to? That's the important question. Kyle, God damn it.
You're only as good as your last
crazy controversy.
Kyle, I don't know if I... Kyle, that was like...
You tamed an incel.
Yeah. That took some time.
Literally. You know about the incel community.
No, I saw that episode, and there was a point where that was shut down. That he finally said the shittiest comment that he was going to say that...
Oh, which one? Catfish Man?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like,
the point where he said, no, I catfish, and I meant to, and I'm still...
And that's where I lost my mind.
And then that's where you lost your mind. It's like, okay, if you're willing to do that, we no longer want to talk
about that. Yeah, I have a line, and my line is I can be very, very patient about poor ideas and try to understand where they come from so that they can be countered. But once you get to the point that you are actively harming people, especially if you're not remorseful and you're doing it on purpose, that's my line. And then I'm no longer going to be cordial with you.
Right. But the point is they deserve it. That was the attitude they had.
But on the flip side of it,
it's incel 101. They deserve it.
We have five strings on that, right? We have five incel strings.
Right.
We talked to the guy who owns the largest incel forum, incels.is, where all that stuff goes on, where all the evil, ugly stuff goes on.
Right.
He came on and he put on a really good face, somebody like you do for damage control, right? Then we had two incels that actively are there and that just said awful things. Now, the first time they came on, the first time King Incels came on,
that's
when I read his homophobic rant.
Right.
Yep. And I kicked him off because that was too far. Like, he was saying all of this.
Right.
Like, all this stuff. He emailed me back after that and said, look, I see where you were right. Can I come on? Let's talk about this. He is doing, the second stream that he came on, we actually got him to leave the forum.
AV guy. The AV guy's taking over.
I can't tell you how.
It's just looking at side of Kyle right now.
That's okay. Hello.
Literally a Lucasfilm.
And right now we're looking at a wall in Christy.
I can't see.
And part of Dan.
Kyle, I don't know if you know this, Kyle, but have you looked at the Insta Wiki? There's an Insta Wiki.
No.
And there is there's an Insta. Check it out. There's an Insta Wiki. There's.
Before you say that, let me finish this, and then I'll go to you. Let me just finish this last little bit. He came on a stream with Shannon and I. Mm-hmm. Shannon and I talked to him. By the end of that stream, he said, "I'm going to leave the incel forum." And we didn't think much of it.
No, we didn't.
But to this day, he is still in contact with. He still contacts me three times a week. He's doing well. He's doing voiceover stuff for different channels. He's on Fiverr. That was one of my
that was one of your suggestions.
You need to go and do that because you have the voice for it. And so Shannon actually turned a incel around, and he is in contact with me three times a week.
Wow.
He's doing amazing. He's doing voiceover work. He left all that stuff behind. So
that's why you need to be patient with people when they're spouting craziness, right? Because people come to that craziness not. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to be a reprehensible asshole. Mm. People wake up in the morning
except
and...
Except
Ricky. He probably does.
That's his affirmation.
Yeah. Most people, when they come to that for a reason. Like, they've either had poor reasoning that has led them to that, or they've had a combination of poor reasoning coupled with Harriman. It's some sort of defensive mechanism. And if you keep coming at them, you're just going to further entrench them.
Right.
So that's why when people say, you know what, shut down those conversations, I think to myself, you know what, have you ever changed your mind?
Have you ever changed your mind?
That's like saying that no one can ever change their mind and you don't want them to.
That's the important thing. That goes to the platform.
What are we doing?
To the platform controversy.
Right.
We were brought in for the thing is, if I listen to people about the incel thing, because I had so many people saying, don't talk to these people, you're giving them publicity, we don't need to talk about bad ideas. It worked.
Yes.
Somebody left. There's one less of those individuals out
and
there.
And he had influence. He was intensely influenced.
He was.
And he's looking at starting another forum.
He was.
Where other people will be going with
and I actually bought that domain.
Yeah.
We're trying to get set up.
Yeah.
It's called XLs. We're trying to get, what he wants to do is people out. So instead of incels, XLs. So we've got that domain. It's just a lot of like work set up. But he's motivated to do it. And the important thing is, when you have those conversations, as difficult as they are and as uncomfortable.
And if we hadn't, air quotes, platformed them.
Right.
That's an opportunity that would have been there.
But you chose how long to keep them on that platform. Because there were people you were just like, oh no, now you are not.
You're done.
Like, you will not have our platform anymore.
Sure, there's a line. Like,
you have crossed the line.
Yeah.
You have met the limit.
When you degrade, I have Shannon on as a guest. Like, she is doing me a favor by coming
on.
If you come on and you insult her,
right,
I'm going to bit you out and then kick you off. Like, that's just the natural.
Uh-huh. You're more fierce about insults towards me than I am.
Really?
Like, yeah, I called like, fuck you, fuck your mom, get out.
I was hot that day too. I was hot that day. Steve, what were you going to say about incels wiki?
There's an incel wiki and there's actually an entry in King Gigacell. So some strange shit out, but the primary part is that you might get an interest in. It says King Gigacell was a user on incel.co who engaged with a 1-hour debate with Shannon Q and Kyle from the Non Sequitur podcast together with Brendio EEEE. Then it says later, King Gigacell disavowed incels to be a member of the Discord group of the Non Sequitur podcast or some dumb shit like that. I love that. I love that. That's a great incel wiki right there.
You know what? I'm okay with that though.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that too. I love that actually.
Yeah. Cosmos, you're doing a lot. I've noticed a lot more talks places. Like you were recently did one at your I believe it was at your school. You're speaking to a class. I think it's the last one you did.
The most recent one I've heard of was actually a talk I gave in South England. It was in like a room rather than a venue, so it kind of
fancy
when it looked like that.
Yeah.
No, I haven't spoken at my university except once at the union. Yeah,
that's the big room, right?
Yeah, they take floor speeches. So there was a debate about the Catholic Church. The motion was this house believes that the Catholic Church can never pay for sins. And it was a very emotionally charged debate. It was incredible. Some of the speakers there, I decided to go and say a few words. But yeah, I've been trying to do a bit more public speaking and events and things, especially now that I over the summer I had a bit more time and I'm trying to plan around exams and things. Because essentially, if people give me a venue, a location, and pay for my transport, like I'll almost certainly do it.
Sure.
So I'm just accepting whatever comes my way.
And this may be a question that you don't want to answer, and if you don't, that's fine. What's your future plans, like with your channel and what you're going to school to be? Like, do you plan on maintaining the kind of course that your channel is, or expanding, or is that going to conflict with what you want to do?
Well, it's tricky to say. It depends how well this degree goes. In about 2 years' time, just over, I should have, with some luck, a degree in philosophy and theology. If that goes well, I'd like to go and do a master's, a PhD, perhaps like in the far future. That would be great. That would probably interfere with my channel, but probably not much more than it's already interfering now. And it's somewhat sustainable. Like it can be made to work. Like I'm here, you know.
Sure.
I think in that situation, I'd have to prioritize education because I get this feeling that many people start on YouTube and they think the Kalam cosmological argument is a bad argument, and they say, "Haha, look, I've made this video about it." And, but what caused God? And they get like a bunch of subscribers, and so then they quit their job and they start doing that full time. They just run out of things to say.
Sure.
And someone brings up arguments that they don't know how to counter, or they get into they get invited to speak at events because of the stature they've got online, but the people who are there against them aren't there because they've got a lot of followers, but because they've got doctorates, and they're just totally out of their depth. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be in a position where I have to say, right, I'm done, and I have to give up here. I've done as much as I can. So I'd rather sacrifice some of that and focus on actually having a grounding for what I'm saying.
Sure.
And then doing it. But it's difficult to say. It really is. But I'd like to do more public speaking, more long-form conversations, more of these kinds of forums.
Yeah.
And hopefully the channel can survive.
Perhaps I'm sure it will. You just hit, what,
250K.
Yeah. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. So, it's a pretty crazy boss.
I watched you before I started doing YouTube. Right?
Wow.
I loved your Ken Ham videos.
That's how I found them too.
Exactly.
The Ken Ham comments, Twitter comments.
What was it that got you started? Like, when did you wake up and say, I'm going to do a video? And what was that video, that first video that you
ever? So I've made videos on... So I used to make videos about skateboarding, which are still online.
Really?
Yeah, if you want to find them.
Someone find those.
Fairly easy to find, actually, as well. They were just sarcastic videos, taking the piss. Wait, you don't have that phrase here, do you? Taking the piss.
Yeah. That means that like soon after a couple of these, I'll have to go take the piss.
No, it's like joking around.
Yeah, taking the Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taking
what?
The,
like,
taking
I'm the Canadian. Kiss, we're Commonwealth.
See, I'm watching enough of the Ricky Gervais show. I'm onto this. So.
Yeah.
You're messing with someone if you're taking the piss.
Yeah.
Regardless, I was making videos on all sorts of stuff, and then I made a video responding to a cartoon from the Watchtower, the Jehovah's Witness organization.
Oh, man.
And that one did fairly well. Over a course of a few months, it got up to 10,000 views, and I hit 1,000 subscribers on the same day. Oh, no, it wasn't 1,000, sorry. It was about 400 subscribers and 10,000 views on this video after a few months. And it was crazy. I met up with some friends, and we had a drink to celebrate. But then I uploaded another video that day, which was a response to a guy called Greg Locke.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that got
we found
your
already.
He blurs into existence. See if like
those glasses are everything.
It doesn't break down. You're fine without it.
How old were you here?
Man, I
watch that nice blur into existence.
Nice
fading. That is a swagger walk. Right,
oh,
wow.
UK's number one kiss boy. Swag.
I didn't make that kind of anymore.
I don't know why. That was good.
It might have become back.
Retro.
Should be your new intro.
Yeah.
Cosmic skateboard.
It is almost
a
wine on top of it.
Don't worry, it's still beer on the floor.
Yeah,
so
the second video you were saying.
Yeah, the Greg Bot video. I put that on Reddit, which doesn't use Reddit, and there's Reddit stuff apparently. But
isn't that the worst? I can't, like, Reddit is
like, I get it. But either way, it popped up on Reddit, and overnight, that video got 10K. And so this other video was amazing. That it got 10,000 views over this course of however many months, and then this video just got 10,000 views, and that was the start. Like, I had 1,000 subscribers overnight, 10,000 views, and I was just in shock, and that was enough. Like, you don't need a whole lot of subscribers, like, somewhere like 1,000 is the right people. And I had like a post on the Friendly Atheist blog, people were sharing the blogs and commenting, and things. First time I'd ever experienced having people like commenting at a significant level, you know.
Yeah,
I thought this is amazing, and I figured, look, people like this. I need to jump on the momentum. So I made a similar style on the side again, and so I kind of fell into it almost because that's what people liked. And then, I mean, back then I probably was more of a science enthusiast than a
college
box.
Yeah, that's right. I used to make a.
You had like Newton's law of motion. You were dropping stuff.
More like kind of sciencey videos, but when the 80s stuff kicked off, I thought I should probably focus on that, which I did. And then that kind of moved into philosophy, which has always been the kind of underlying interest in both the science and the atheism. Like, to me, the atheistic arguments I was making was just a subset of my interest in philosophy.
but that's what people then kind of got to know me for, so I have to keep that up. But I'm hoping now to expand a little bit more into other areas. So I speak about ethics, morality a lot, talk about that with my, like Steve, and then talking about like animal ethics and things like that.
Yeah.
Podcast, the range of guests that I'm trying to get on means that I can talk about all sorts of different subjects.
Right.
So I've just been emailing, contacting a lot of people, and the variety has been pretty expansive. So that's how it got started. It was kind of my chance almost that I started doing those kinds of things.
The one thing being from the UK. Here's the difference between like you and I. Your accent, you're able to say things, and even though you may not be correct, people are going to give you an air of, that sounds right. See, for me, it's the opposite. Because I have a southern ring to my voice, I'm instantly wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And it's the funniest thing, because I can talk to him, Steve, and Rachel, let's talk all day long. Anything. It just sounds like it's right. And then for some reason, I like 2 + 2 = 4. Just because I have a twin, people are like, you sure?
Yeah. Sounds stupid.
It's right, though, ain't it?
Let me bet.
It's true. Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? It's going to blur all of existence now.
What's up, man? Jim, how's it going?
Hey, you look drunk. Still drunk.
I'm drunk, Steve.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Keep a little distance between you two, you know.
There's enough room for Jesus.
We might get demonetized if you guys even get any closer.
How big is
it? By the way, it is a little choppy, so maybe if you can move it just a little bit, it's starting to have that Marriott Wi-Fi connection thing going on.
Man, don't you wish you were here?
Rachel, just come up.
Yeah.
I would love to be there having a beer with you guys. Shit, yeah. Or a few beers, in my case. Who has this one?
Yeah. We're at intermission. We're going to the Rationality Rules, and Rachel Oates will. Everybody's like a little bit everywhere. Maybe deal with
hunting. You have to go crowling.
Card games.
The only thing, if because people, Steve, he'll be expecting that you're gonna go after him with the argument. I shouldn't tell him. Maybe I should just be like, "Come on, sit down and see if you can say what you want to say."
I didn't know Steve was.
You guys know what they're talking about? It's breaking up for me. I can't really understand what they're saying.
Well, I can understand myself perfectly.
Jim's drunk.
You need to refresh.
Oh, Jim, that I understood. Yeah, drunk Jim, I understand. I speak drunk, so I have no issue with that. It's just the connection's bad.
Yeah. So what's new with you, Steve? We wait on.
Nothing. I was actually interested in that vegan ethical argument that Alex was talking about earlier. Because my sister, I don't know if you know this, but I think Kyle does. But my sister is an ethical vegan. Even though I have not talked to her in several years. I think the ethical argument is almost unassailable. I think it's a really good argument, actually.
It is.
But are people convinced by it? That's up to the individual, right? I'm not convinced by it because I eat meat. But it is a very, very good argument. We'll give that where credit is due. Yes.
Right. It's a weird thing because there it's right because no one wants to see animals suffer. You know, the way like the gestation pens or pigs. Where they can't, the treatment going on, and knowing that, sort of foregoing that, still eating meat, like they have a solid case, I think. Now,
yeah,
I'm a complete hypocrite. I can say that in that regard. Like, I know it's because I can't resist bacon. I'm weak.
Yeah, see, I don't consider myself a hypocrite by eating meat because I don't think it's. To me, it's not an ethical consideration of that regard.
That's why I started raising my own animals, like own my own chickens and stuff like that. Because I realized that I for one cannot give up meat. It's just something. I mean, you can call me get a creator or whatever, but I just can't. I fucking love meat. So I mean, the next best thing is to do ethical farming.
By the way,
yeah, I mean you agree though. You agree that we shouldn't have needless suffering for animals, right? So I mean, if we're
look how sensuous this is. This is like a type.
Yeah, so Kyle, can you exit and come back in? Because really it's degraded to the point where, yeah, refresh.
No, it's better when I break up because it's artsy. It gives it character. So it's a.
It's artsy.
It's artsy, mm-hmm. But unintelligible.
Yeah, you wouldn't know anything about that, Steve.
Jim is usually unintelligible, so maybe the unintelligibility of being unintelligible because of the Steam breakup. Plus, alcohol might, Jim, be making sense now. But, I believe that we should have ethical considerations for animals, that we should kill them humanely, right? That's my thing. If we can develop a way to have meat that's ethical, then I think that ethical veganism would go by the wayside. I think the argument is now more, you know, are there ways to minimize animal suffering? I think so, yes. I think the ways things now are inhumane.
Where do you draw the line, though? Like, where do you draw the line on cruelty-free? Because, I mean, somewhere along the lines, you are using a product that at some time was an animal that went through some cruel, inhumane treatment.
Well, they shouldn't be mistreated while they're alive and killed instantly.
Right, agreed. Right. See, I'm agree with Kyle on that one, yeah.
Right.
I mean, even in some places, it is more ethical to hunt them and eat the meat than it is to let them overpopulate and die of starvation. I believe that as well.
I tell you, it's a lot more ethical than kosher or halal killings.
Yeah,
it's definitely a problem. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Like,
we are natural predators.
Yeah, and like, you know, yep. I don't want to get too like too PETA or whatever. But like, they didn't ask to be here. You know, they don't know what's going on.
Right, they didn't ask for us.
There's no reason that they should suffer.
Right, they didn't ask us to selectively breed them so that they could be fat and juicy and be
yeah,
right.
That's a problem.
Right,
problem
and, yeah, us. And that's the thing. Like, through the selective breeding, like you're also creating like. Ailments to their bodies and like joint problems and things like that, to where not only are they living a shitty life, you know, but they're living a shitty quality of life. They're hurting because they're made to grow too fast too soon.
Here's another let's switch gears real quick to another controversy that the more I think about, the more I'm convinced is the case. Now I have a new conspiracy, Steve.
Oh, what's that?
Right now. We have phones and technology that allows us to do everything mobile, to talk to people all, you know, halfway across the world. Technology has expanded infinitely in years. Now, why are we still running cars on gas?
Yes.
Yeah. That's not a conspiracy.
There's two reasons for that. One, gas is pretty plentiful. It's easy to actually produce and refine and distribute, and also has a very high power density. Different energies have different energy densities, and where you get more bang for your buck, so to speak, for something that is something like gasoline, because it's an explosive, than you would for other types of. I mean, you could run it off like grease, but it's not as energy efficient as something like gas. That's the reason why
we have a robot. We have a robot that I have seen that is capable of, when tomatoes are falling at lightning speed.
Oh yeah,
smacking out green ones, red ones,
yes.
Green ones, smacking it out like quick as shit. You can't tell me that we can't build an engine that can run on anything other than gas. It's because of the lobby.
Well, I tell you this. I hang on, Jim. I am convinced that we have carburetors that could get efficiencies up to about 200 miles per gallon. I believe this. I am literally actually convinced. We have the technology right now to make cars that are that energy efficient off gas. The reason we don't, because it's not profitable for them to do so.
But that's the only reason it's not profitable for them to do so. Like the whole reason that they won't do it, it is because that these big oil companies have too much power, and if we move to a completely different source of energy, then that allows new opportunities for other people to monopolize the market, and they lose power immediately.
It's just like the NRA. It's a lobby that's way too powerful, and the issue here now is we're to the point where it's almost past the tipping point to save the planet as a whole.
10 years,
like we
10 years to do it.
Right, it's a tipping point.
Yeah,
and Yeah, and
the methane gas comes out from the methane gas comes out,
right?
Yeah.
It's
and it's something not taken seriously. Something not taken seriously at all. Oh.
Yeah, and the other problem with cars, we have energy, we have electric cars, but the biggest problem with electric cars is storage. You need some kind of battery to store the electricity, and batteries are heavy because, again, energy density. So in order to have a battery that has that much ability to store enough energy just so you can have high current come out of it, it's going to be very, really heavy. So it's kind of a trade-off. The bigger battery you have, the heavier you are, the more energy you need to make the car go. So we need to develop better density technology for batteries. They have what's called hydrogen batteries that some buses have run on.
Sure.
Those are the way to go. They're the fifth generation.
We do see some developments in batteries, like lithium ion batteries and everything like that. But the problem is that there's not enough development going into these renewable resources.
Like I said, there's a robot that green tomatoes from Red Tomatoes at lightning speed. There's no reason why we can't have
it. I've seen the change over the years. You got to remember, I was with Radio Shack for 6 years, so I've seen the changes. I remember when we started with what's called magnesium dioxide dry cells, right? Sure. You used to get them with the red battery and the green cells. You could get one a month for free. They lasted about 3 minutes, right? Because there's no power density to them. Then they had nickel metal hydride. Then they had lithium ion. Now they're having things like hydrogen cells. We are getting progressively better. But I think that we're always 3 to 5 years behind, at least minimal, the technology that's available, at least at a minimum.
I agree. We are ready. Yes, we are putting in, but we're putting effort in the wrong fucking direction.
Let me say hello to our next guest. Rationality.
Yay! Rationality!
Coming on for a little bit.
All right, you know what? You do have better hair than me. I will admit it. I concede. All hail.
Boy, doesn't Steve
all
hail. You
somebody touch his hair for me, please. I want to touch his hair. Is it real? Is it really? Like,
so what was the important thing?
Let's sit right here.
I got the comfy chair.
Pleased
to be here.
So many cool people in this just gotta be here, you know? And then the fact that I was invited means that they want me here. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just
they want me there.
I had to come.
They really like you.
They do. He's quite popular here. Quite popular.
He's awesome.
So this is What was it that got you into YouTube in the first place? Like, what was the why did you wake up one day and decide that you were going to make videos?
Really interesting, because I've met so many people here which come from like a religious background, and it's almost a backlash. It's like, man, I got shut into me for all this time, and now I'm like, no, I want to show this is wrong, be emancipated earlier than I was. For me, it wasn't like that. I've always thought I want to know the truth. Because if I know the truth, then I'm going to make more rational decisions. And I would end up asking questions that irritate people, or they've just never asked them.
Right.
And so for me, I kept pushing that as far as I could go. And then I found that I find any kind of literature on this philosophy the Four Horsemen and looking at those kind of questions. I just kept pushing forward with that until basically there was a point where it wasn't something I could follow through with or read or watch, and I thought I want to create it. I want to create the conversation around it, and so so that's what I did.
Excellent.
And I'd take an argument and I'd say that's really wrong for many, many reasons, such as the watchmaker analogy, and I couldn't really find a concise source that really hammered it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was like, I'll do it then.
Excellent.
And luckily, there was a community that was like, we like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
one of the dynamics that I like seeing is like you did a video, I believe it was a year ago, where you kind of set it towards Matt Dillahunty, and here he's here, and you two like are you seem really close. You seem like you respect one another.
Absolutely,
and that's the important thing I think to take away from things like people can have disagreements and still come away with it with sort of that.
It's
so what was that like?
It's just so important to have that. We live in such a divisive time.
Sure.
It's like, what's this? You don't agree with my opinion? Oh, you're a Nazi.
this helps no one kind of thing. And so it's so nice to have this situation where with Matt, I was able to make a video. Like, I love Matt's work. I think he's a wonderful person. But publicly, my only interaction was me saying, dude, you're wrong.
Right.
And it doesn't look great, but that's good. You know?
Sure.
So we've had plenty of discussions since, and it's been wonderful. And we had an amicable conversation, and he taught me things, and I taught him things. It's just happened with Alex O'Connor as well. Tomorrow we're speaking about morality.
Right.
He now believes morality is objective. So we've had that conversation. We went back and forth. He's changed my views, and I've changed his views. And so this is a big thing. And the point being is that even if we didn't agree, like, I think Matt still goes with compatibilism. Even if we don't, can still have a conversation, can still go places. There's no need for it to end in some kind of spiteful catfight.
Right. That's the important. Yeah. Like today, for some reason, I think that people have forgotten how to have like a conversation. And I kept seeing your interactions with Matt, and I'm like, wow, they were able to have sort of a back and forth, which was, you know, very productive for both of you.
Yeah.
And people can learn from that. I think today people are so quick to do something they don't agree with and just shut it off.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's largely the biggest problem we have. Something I'm going to say tomorrow on stage, but I really do feel that while we've outgrown religion, we are still tethered to religious thinking.
Sure.
The try is still there. You see it in politics. In England, with Brexit, you see it with left and right, and you see it with Trump, and you see it with Hillary. It's just toxic situation where people have forgot how to have real conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to deliberately, for a good while on my channel, really show that that's wrong and that you can disagree with someone without being enemies.
Sure.
And wonderful that I can say I've had that experience with Matt Dillahunty, with Alex O'Connor, and hopefully I can have it with many more people, because that's the only conversations where it's just you can't have a conversation that shuts it down. It doesn't matter what they shut it down for. It's just because I could be wrong on something. I mean, I am. I'm a mammalian ape. I'm going to be wrong on stuff. I have been many a times before. What pisses me is when someone comes up to me and actually wants a conversation and doesn't almost straw man my positions because they're angry with me. It's like, you're changed my mind. And it does happen. Because if someone comes up and they're very, you are far right, or might be.
Right.
I'm a human. My natural reaction is going to be that I'm not listening.
Absolutely.
It will then have to come from someone else, or it will have to come from another time.
I agree.
So, yeah.
What's been, how has your content changed over since you started and to where you are now? Like, what has been sort of work for you?
Good question. So when I started, I wanted to take all the three major arguments and just break them down and show you where fallacies are committed and where they're wrong. And I still do this.
Mm-hmm.
It moved into an area where I wanted to comment on religious apologetics and where that's going and what we as the non-religious can do and where to spot certain tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is strong rhetoric, but it's not true. Or hang on, look, they're moving this goalpost, and so we need to recognize this. You can't employ the same old arguments if they're not actually the same old rebuff have actually changed their arguments. Like,
sure.
So it's moved into that area, which is where I had commentary on Jordan Peterson and stuff like that, which at the beginning was really controversial. I didn't think it would be. I just heard Jordan speaking. I didn't hear what he had to say in politics, where, you know, there's things I agree with him on. He's not an idiot by any means.
Right.
But I only heard what he had to say on religion. And when I heard it on that, I was just like, this is just wrong. So I make the video, and it turns out it's controversial.
Yeah, the fanboys come after you.
So yeah, my ultimate plan is just to improve people's skeptical capacity, like improve conversation. So you do thing on what's publicly current, what's actually happening.
Right.
And it just gets more traffic, it gets more interest than here actually using.
Right.
It's from the 16th century.
Sure.
No one's interested in that. They want to see it in its current state, but that's where I've moved more into that area.
So, there's an interesting thing with you and your videos. You're one of the only people within this sort of community that goes after Islam, quite heavily. Mm-hmm. Do you any kind of backlash from that community?
I get backlash from from Islamic community, yeah, from Muslims, I do get that. I also get it massively from atheists, like on the left, like very far left. They think I'm being disingenuous when I say, no, they really do believe X, or right. Here's the polls, here's the studies. I get a lot of hit from it, but it needs to be said.
Yeah,
in England, for example, there's cases where there's grooming gangs, and what they're doing is they've basically been raping young females in England, and it's brushed under the carpet. It's not published. It's hidden because of political correctness, because whatever reason, I'm not entirely sure. It's odd,
sure.
But the facts are there, and it really did happen. It's like, this is a real conspiracy. This is really odd. And then you couple that with what most Muslims purport to believe. Most Muslims are very much against the LGBT community.
Right.
Merely saying they are gets me hate from both the LGBT community in some extent and from the religious. And I just, to me, I kind of let it go past me. I'm just going to keep speaking what I know to be true, and I'll listen to good arguments and change my mind should they come.
That's bizarre. How do you take it when you, essentially you're having people, atheists, people from the LGBTQ community, who are defending a religion, so to speak, against what their actual actions are. Why do you think that is the case? Like, where does that stem from?
I think it's a conflict of interests that they have. Most people are just trying to do the best that they can. Mm-hmm. I operate on that assumption. People believe earnestly what they're saying, and they normally have really good intentions. It's just they may be wrong on a certain fact, or they may be wrong on a certain interpretation. The problem, I think, stems from the type of politics you get more on the left, if I'm honest, which is like identity politics, where, for example, the principle isn't necessarily equality. It might be the principle is women's rights. Women should have jobs, or women should have a better situation. And then they might have a situation where they then say, immigrants should have better jobs, they should have a situation. And then when there's a situation where there's a conflict between those two, there's no logical way to move through that, because their principles are just, they won't work in that conflict.
Right.
They only work when it's separated. I think of that happens. But I know that everyone means something, so I just try and go into it as best I can, really.
How do you do well with that? So, last question, and I'll let you go. So there's several people that want to talk to you. Who are you most excited to see at this forum?
Gosh, there is so many. I've seen Rachel Oates, you see. I sat next to her on the
speaking of
on the plane.
Yeah. Well, woman, you're playing the part of a woman tomorrow, I hear, right? Yeah, perfect. Hopefully, will you join us next?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, so. We have this question. Who were you most excited to see?
I thought I'd nearly got away with it.
No, that's it.
Oh, gosh. It really is everyone, but I know that's a shit answer. So
I'm going to allow that, though, because...
Yeah. You're supposed to say Kyle. This is what he's fishing for. Got to say Kyle. There you go. See?
Yeah, man, but I think that, I've always enjoyed your stuff. I think that you take on issues that are important and in a way that most people don't. So it's a pleasure to have you sit here and ask you.
Thank you very much.
This is great. Cool. Rationality rules.
Woo! One of my favorites. Come on, too.
You can applaud. Yeah, we can applaud. Hey, Ocean.
Drinking a little bit of wine.
Sure.
Yay, another fave.
I have no idea how to pronounce it. I just like
Riesling. You just made. I don't know if you heard Steve. William.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah, it's funny. He's like, oh, hi, Steve.
So we have Rachel Oates with us. Lovely Rachel Oates. Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying your time here?
Oh yeah, very tired. A little bit tipsy.
Oh,
good.
Nice. I'm a little bit tipsy myself. Yeah. It takes like two to get.
Okay.
I'm a very lightweight.
This is like, I'm not even halfway through my second glass of wine, but I've just had like several sleeps, a little food. It's
right.
Just hitting me.
By the way, I love her hair color. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
It's amazing. So,
a little bit orange.
I want to talk to you, if you don't mind, a little bit about the recent interview. I think it was important. Like, and you did a very good job. The one about the EA video.
Oh, yes.
You did a very good job, I think, of not making it about
individual. It was more about sort of the things that, which I think is important, yeah. So that you don't sort of cross over and.
Like, obviously it was disappointing what he said.
Sure.
But what is worse is that it's not just him saying it. There's a whole community of people who think that way. And we can't just call out individuals. We need to call out the words and the actions. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think that's what's important, because sometimes the things people say get lost on the individual, yeah. And not so much what exactly, yeah. They say. You've been doing YouTube for a while, and I love it when you read your mean comments. Where do you think some of this line of thinking, especially, it's, yeah. Shocking when it happens to the atheist side. You know, we expect it, yeah. From, where do you think that stems from?
The mean comments?
Mm-hmm. Or just people's ideas that are sort of with the direction that the ATA said. Where do you think that stems from?
I think a lot of it is about insecurity. And I know that from personal experience. I know when I was unhappy with myself, I lashed out more often than I do now. And I think a lot of it is, if someone challenges you and you don't like, or if someone challenges you and it makes you feel insecure, if someone challenges you and it knocks your confidence, or something that you've thought your entire life, like a religious belief,
mm-hmm.
or even something like a homophobic belief that you don't, right. Believe is homophobic, but it's something you've been taught. If someone challenges you and you don't like it, that's going to make you insecure and you're going to lash out at them.
Absolutely.
And if you can't pick a fault if they can't pick a fault in your argument, they're going to pick a fault in you.
Right. I was told, the comment that is me when we first started, and the chat's going to go crazy, but I had somebody tell me that I look like a discount garden gnome.
Oh.
not just a garden gnome, a discount one.
Yeah, but that's the kind of one I find.
so let me ask you this. You do a brilliant job also of like sort of the stiff upper lip of these mean comments. Like you are a genius in the way that you react. Does that get hard? And like, do you ever sort of feel?
Usually, it's getting easier. When I first started, I would literally sit and cry for hours. And
really?
I know I should admit that, but yeah. I would literally for hours of things, especially things that hit on my insecurity. So stupid stuff like about my teeth. People thought that, like, you know, I wasn't as smart as so-and-so, I wasn't as eloquent as so-and-so. Like, that would hit me because they were the things that I was thinking.
Right.
And they were reinforcing the things I had in my head. Where now I've got all this community around me and all the people. When people are like, oh, well, you know, you're not as eloquent as Steve, I'm like, it's okay, I don't have to be. I've got other strengths that he doesn't have, and he has strengths that I don't have. Or when people are like, you're not as assertive as Alex, I'm like, again, it's okay, I don't have to be.
Right.
Like, I'm the human empathetic side, and Alex is more about some logic and,
sure.
Assertive. And we're amazing in our own rights.
Absolutely.
And so I don't let things move so much, because there's a place for all of us. And just kind of as I've grown in confidence, those things don't affect me anymore. If someone makes a comment about my teeth, I'm like, it doesn't matter. That doesn't impact what I'm saying. It just means being a bit of a douche.
Yeah, your comments back are it's so funny to watch you do that. So what was it that made you decide to get up one day and do YouTube? What made you make your first video?
So I initially started doing like makeup stuff just for fun.
Oh, cool.
Past the time. Yeah. And then I was like looking for stuff about the UK general election in like 2017, something like that. I can't remember what it was. And I couldn't find any young women in the UK talking about it, and that's what I really want to watch. So I just made it myself.
Excellent. And yeah. And the sort of changeover into more of the religious aspect.
Well, that's the kind of stuff I always enjoyed, like talking about, thinking about, right. Myself. So I was like, well, if people like me ranting about my opinions on this thing,
right.
What if they like it about other stuff?
Sure.
And then Godless Cranium found me, and he has been an amazing like support and encouragement like the whole time, and he's just been incredible.
He's amazing. How do you feel about what happened to him and his channel with YouTube?
You know, oh, the demonetization.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
The other thing that I wanted to.
Can I just before my channel got really big, YouTube made me creator of the day. They literally promoted my channel on the featured page.
Really?
Yeah. They gave me this like massive spot. They promoted some of my videos. One of the videos was literally mocking Christian, you know, my morning with Jesus routines. It was a parody of that. and YouTube promoted that. So why won't they monetize Mike's channels?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you said that. I didn't know that. I think a lot of it has to do with the way that they worded that letter to him. It sounded like almost that he was the fact that he was, you know, videos, OP with videos.
But I do that.
Most of us do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing about response videos. I don't know why he was targeted.
I feel like as much as they want to say it's the algorithms and this and this, I think a lot of it is a personal thing.
Sure.
And they see someone like Mike using maybe like an avatar, maybe talk about controversial stuff, and they think, we can't monetize that.
Right.
Whereas they see me and they think, oh, she's a young girl, and as well as this stuff, you know. She also talks about makeup and animals.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. And, you know, it just hit me, too. He did a video called, anybody remember What If There Was No Religion? I think that was the name of it. He had a bunch of creators do.
I loved being part of that. Yeah, amazing.
It was a beautiful video. Beautiful. There was no, no obscene message.
Nothing.
That was instantly.
I couldn't watch it in my country. I couldn't watch it.
It was banned in a few countries. Yep.
Yeah. So I couldn't see the full video without using like a prompting.
That's so, they have it out for some reason. He said that it was because of maybe the guy who bullshit was he was fighting with that. But
it was a Pentecostal.
Well, Kyle, it's kind of weird. People were mirroring in that video, and some people that are mirroring it, some of them got demonetized and some didn't, showing that it is completely arbitrary. Completely arbitrary. But I wanted to mention this because I don't know how long Rachel has. You know, you said something that really intrigued me because I think, you know, you, Steve, and Alex complement each other really well. I don't know if you guys recognize this, but you guys are like literally the embodiment of ethos, pathos, and logos. Steve is the logos guy. You're the most pathos, and Alex is the ethos guy. You have the best of all possible worlds. You three really do have a synergetic effect because you complement each other really well between your strengths and weaknesses. That's why I think you watch your guys.
I agree, and especially with that garden where you're out there doing.
It was Alex's garden.
Yeah,
it was great to start with, and then it got to like 1 a.m. and it was dark, and there were police cars going past, and we'd been doing this. Well, I'd left home at 1 a.m. that morning.
Sure.
And it was a long day. And that last debate we just did was, we were all exhausted and it was a mess.
Sure.
But it started off great.
Well, I'm not going to keep you because I know that, like you said, you're tired and there's going to be a big day tomorrow. But I appreciate you so much coming, sitting down. And I wanted to ask you one final question.
Of course.
What are you looking forward to the most about?
Honestly, I might be a little bit biased about this, but the conversation on morality between Steve and Alex. Steve was going over his stuff with me on the plane. I do not know how Alex is going to come back to that. I am very, very interested.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of juicy preview.
Steve has some very good points.
They're both smart. I mean, they're both brilliant.
Oh, my God, they're both incredible.
What was the topic they were talking about, Rachel?
So they're talking about morality and kind of objective morality. But Steve has a little challenge for the audience, and I think it's going
to
be good.
Oh, man.
I'm looking forward. I tend to side with Steve on the whole morality thing. So I've watched Alex. I've had to talk to Alex. Alex seems like he's becoming more sophisticated in his approach to morality. I've seen him change because what he's told me and what he's saying now slightly changed, and that's good. I think that he's actually taking on board a lot of things that Rationality Rules is saying, because I love Rationality Rules approach to things. You know, when you have a bunch of different atheists and a bunch of different people, you're gonna have differing things, right? There's not nobody's going to be 100% correct, so it's sure. Nice that people do take on board other people's on things.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for popping in. This was fantastic. Absolutely.
So great to meet you as well. And Steve, why aren't you here?
I would have loved to meet you. You know that, Rachel.
I look forward to.
I knew you before anybody knew you, Rachel. I've been with you since day one.
Steve, come on now.
She was on my channel when she had like 200 subs. I don't know. Like seriously, how many subs did you have?
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Bye, Rachel.
That was amazing. Jamie.
Oh sure. Yes.
I mean, you have a lovely bow in your hat, so I might as well.
Thank you. Yes, I've managed to wrangle a Bobby.
How do you go from Rachel to this?
One of the hosts, one of the co-hosts of the show Talk Heathen, a production of the Atheist Community Boss.
I'm going to be on there Sunday.
Yes.
Love the shirt. Sunday, love the shirt.
Thank you. Swag. Right,
show it
hey,
off.
Steve has
swag.
I like the bow.
Thank you. Yes. Now, it's a.
Now, Jamie and I have been fighting all night about a very important topic.
Oh, God. I'm not a great advocate. I know exactly where you're going, but yes.
The Oxford comma.
Got to have it.
Necessary.
It's a must.
Let's see how dormant.
Well, if not, you get ambiguous. You have to be able to, like, separate the things.
Strongest possible terms.
Listen, this is,
this is on par with the results of World War II.
The live chat's my peeps.
Let us know.
Go well for you. Telling peeps.
Wait, you're not for the Oxford comma? You things get confusing if you don't have the Oxford. What do you like? Pineapple on pizza too?
Are you talking me?
No, Jamie. Yeah, who's for the Oxford? Who's not for the Oxford comma?
Listen. My position
be friends, Jamie.
Is in large part on a level of apathy that doesn't facilitate, which is going to get set aside.
Wow, that sounds very Jordan Peele.
Oh, now you've wounded me, and I have to find something to debate with you about.
A lot of good words.
Jamie Peterson.
No, I know. I'm not actually.
Just up in your room.
Yeah, but it makes for good TV.
Let's see.
Where we got?
Always,
someone said
always,
exclamation.
Always. Oxford comma. We need the space comma. Yes. Space comma is this phenomenon on Conspiracy Cats channel where writers leave a comment, and the reason they always put word and then a space and then a comma. So he created the
It's comments online. There's the word space comma space
right.
Next word. I
that's the Columbia comma.
I you know something has gone well over my bows. I don't understand.
He's about to set up beer.
But let's be real. Press one if you agree with the Oxford comma. Press two.
Let's clarify the question here. Let's not Brexit the out of this.
Are you talking right now?
No, I'm just saying we need to define specifically what dialing one or is it two?
One is four.
One is being in favor of the standard style guide that in questions where there isn't a distinction necessary, the comma is the standard. Two is that same situation where the Oxford comma being absent is the standard. Because it's not the standard circumstances where it is necessary.
Chat, I'm concerned.
Yes. He's writing that this is the beginning of the segment that he's put me on with, or at least I don't know. You can boot me.
Is the next great debate we're going to have on MLA versus ADA versus Chicago style? Is that going to be it, Jamie? Because I think that we need to have that debate: MLA, ADA, or Chicago style.
So here's what I will say: in practical terms, for newspapers using less ink, I entirely understand that shift in style.
See how easy that was? Now we agree.
Yes, but except that I believe you were representing is that the Oxford comma is not something that is either generally necessary in any circumstance or never necessary. The second of which is demonstrably false by a person with more information than I have.
You're starting to sound really good on this, so we're moving on to Darth Dawkins.
How do you go from Oxford comma to Darth?
One of the greatest interactions that I have seen in a while.
Yeah.
There was I believe it was three weekends.
It was at least three.
So
it certainly felt that long.
He won't give me the time of day. Like he won't have anything to do with my. So I'm kind of like living vicariously through you. What is it like to speak to the Darth Dawkins?
Hmm.
Slam your head against the wall a few times, Jamie. Just bang that head against the wall as hard as you can, and that's about the equivalent.
I will do. I've been working on my Zendane's and Dawn strength headbutts, and I think I'm going to break through the cinder block someday.
You handled it well.
How do we get Kyle to have a conversation with Darth? I mean, we all know Darth. I go back 5 years with Darth.
You're end up, hey,
Kyle needs to talk.
He has to. Promoting things means telling people in advance. This fine young gentleman is going to end up on Talk Heathen this Sunday. Hey, Darth Dawkins.
Oh, please go
here.
No. I know you kind of banned Darth for good reason. But if Darth calls, can he talk to Kyle?
Good reason. wanted to
see. No, I get that. Darth is a piece of shit. Okay, trust me. I know Darth. Let me tell you this, Jamie. Darth has always been too scared. Darth, and this is true. You can even ask him. Look, if Darth ever calls, Darth has been too scared to ever go on my channel ever. I've been in his multiple times. I've been in multiple hangouts with him. I've engaged with him countless times.
I'm scared to go on your channel.
He will not go into a forum like mine where he knows he doesn't have control because he knows he will get his ass kicked. And it's an open invitation.
What's amazing is I think
that's why he won't go on NonSec.
I'm less informed because I spend a lot of my time and energy doing stuff behind the scenes for the atheist community.
By the way, he's the president of the atheist.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I'm looking quite presidential today. So,
especially with the vote.
Yeah.
Commander in chief.
It's a tradition. Every president of the atheist community, but no, I'm.
Who has hair has a vote.
Yeah. Who has hair?
shots fired.
I'm sure they'll get mad in here sooner or later.
But you handled it really. Like I've seen Darth in a lot of different debates. And you handled it in a way where you were like not going to let him get you angry, which is hard to do with him.
Hmm.
How did you? Where did that come from? Prayer.
Serenity now. No, serenity now.
If I was waiting to receive patience from on high, I would have none. But zing at God. Ah, controversial on anywhere except here. but no,
your delivery is dead on, too, by the way.
Thank you. Fantastic. You know, I think my ego is the thing that I most enjoy being stroked. Somewhere, it's somewhere up. It's in the top five, at least. No, it's not him. It's just, it is kind of. So,
chemistry. It's the Oxford comma.
Well, yes, indeed. Explosive volcano of chemistry from a third grade science
fiction. Are we still talking about Darth Falcons?
No, I thought we were talking about our chemistry. But what you were asking me was how I found the patience to remain on the phone with him since I do. And I think that, it was. I do my best because I get this question sometimes where it's, how do you stand it? How do you stay on the phone so long?
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you take like a fistful of Xanax ahead of time? What's going on?
That was my guess.
Is there? Incorrect, actually. Although you're in good company as far as that goes.
Shots fired.
I do everything I can to not just say I'm actually just really patient and want to see where this goes, but I'm kind of really patient and just want to see where this goes in terms of life.
So aside from talking, since you're the president of the ACA, what does that entail? What do you do?
So the position of president of the Atheist Community of Austin, particularly as described in the bylaws thereof, is kind of a combination of chair of the board of directors and executive director, which means that I am on the board of a nonprofit and therefore can't be paid by it, but I'm also responsible for running the day-to-day. So it means that if I have the time and energy and initiative and the excellent community and volunteers who I would thank by name if I could memorize that many names and who I would shower praises on sufficiently if I was able to sufficiently shower praises upon.
So polished. Such a polished.
Oh, thank you. Vote Jamie for whatever the fuck, whenever. It means that I get to kind of be at the helm of the ship and build a local community that luckily before I was there for about 20 years, they built up a very, very large megaphone that I'm looking forward to using. So I can, the library is open 7 days a week. If you're ever in Austin, Texas, 1507 West Koenig Lane, it's open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. If you like my show, Eric is there, I'll probably be there. Any day of the week, our producer Mark will be there, and there's always people there. On Sunday, there's three live premieres. Every other Wednesday, and then every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, and every Sunday, there's a live premiere of a show. It basically means that,
You're growing.
Yeah, we're growing, right? I avoided getting into the specifics of, I'm responsible for setting board meetings, and when this happens, and if there's an emergency, I can spend money to make sure the building doesn't burn down, because I don't think people are necessarily
looking for me to talk about law and procedure, although I will for hours at a time.
Right.
But, you know, there's a bunch of friends in the room that I'd like to keep, so I won't do that.
What they want to know about if there's any collusion.
Between me and
the Russians.
And the
show
Russians.
Us your emails.
Russian bids.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean,
Russian bids. There's a link.
If you make the trek back to Talk Heathen season one, it's actually, oh my God, I think it's the first episode because we didn't have a caller initially. We were talking about I don't know what. And then surprisingly, because there's no leash or guidance, I sidled into about Russia and foreign policy. And like before me, have very strong feelings about the Russia is going on.
Wow.
You said what they want to know is no collusion, which is clearly a joke. And then I gave you a very, very long, almost
non-answer.
You beat me to my core, sir.
You didn't say it was very complex.
Nothing was complex. It was just long and boring.
I will.
So it was kind of.
I will make you feel better, though, about worse than that, the rant that you did about Russians. Our second live stream, I forgot my co-host's name.
Wow, that's terrible. I've always remembered Eric's name.
It's Eric. Yeah, you're the only one that's...
I'm Kyle, and I'm joined by...
You're blank.
But
you remember now.
The worst thing is, Steve did not help me. He just...
I forget my own name every so often.
You know, real confessions, be honest, blah, blah, blah. There's some moral in there that we're promoting. But I will now because I don't know. I'm not going to cry on my show, so I have to see the next best thing.
I'm going to pitch a fit. I'm going to pitch a fit.
In a way that's entertaining and makes for good television?
Always.
Jamie, what are you drinking?
The phone number to call into any of the live shows for the Atheist Community of Austin, which again premiere Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday every week,
right,
is 512-686-0279.
Call in if you are passionate about pineapple on pizza.
If you're more able to defend the position that the Oxford comma is necessary than I have, because I'm a terrible.
That's what I want to hear. Have a few more beers, and you forget your own name there, Jamie. Trust me. But you are going to let.
It's a Zima.
I want to know because I can get word to Darth. Will you allow Darth to call in to the show on a special occasion if Kyle's on, or you just ban him out?
No.
I can't unilaterally make that call. So as far as our show goes, Eric and I, as a team, a partnership, and.
You guys make a great couple, by the way. Yes.
Why did I open my mouth?
Fluttering around or whatever.
Whatever, my mouth.
So I will talk with him, but
we gotta make that happen.
No harm if he tries.
I know that's okay. I had a beat guard.
Oh yeah, so no. Well, I mean,
shots fired. Yeah. Those are real shots fired. Right,
hey, Darth Dawkins. I tell you what. I'm confident now. Darth Dawkins, call in because I'm coming at you with Pine Creek's argument. With Doug's
Ching.
Argument. So call in. It just hit me. I know how to meet him. There's one person that's been able to break you down.
Do you have a defeater for the Christian worldview?
Yes.
Oh my God. But how great would it be if Darth Dawkins was actually just in the room when we went?
I would fly down right now for that. I would come down this second. I'll start walking if that was to happen. You got to remember, Darth Dawkins, I shit you not, this is a true story. Darth Dawkins once promoted argument from consequence as an actual legitimate argument. He actually says that is an argument from consequence is there's a fallacy. Darth Dawkins does not agree it's a fallacy. He thinks that's an actual legitimate argument. That tells you how incompetent he is.
Darwin's deity.
Oh, your argument from consequence because then there would be no sensible worldview? Yeah, I think that's a pretty clear way of stating that, oh, but then you wouldn't have a sensible worldview collapses.
Give me Brett Keen or G-Man.
Give you...
Okay, well, I, you know, I don't have their, you know, beeper numbers.
You don't send a
oh my gosh, if I could just find callers and tell them, listen, you call into my show right there. I mean, we would have everything. There would be some debate about whether we would get the current president of the United States to call in. There would be everyone that you could ever imagine.
Would. He probably would, dude. I could, you know what? I literally could see that happening. Trump don't give a fuck. He'll call. Yeah, let's make that happen. Oh, hey, Trump, call Tony Evers. I would watch.
It's an open line. ACA, 1C3 nonprofit, and so takes no position on any electioneering. And we are not telling you how to vote or who to vote for.
I'm going to FOIA your text message.
I am.
To see if you message your producer, be like, make sure that Dawkins is held over for.
Does that mean that you're going to try and find some way of getting into my phone?
Yes.
Which I store in my hotel room?
What's your number again?
Shit just got real.
I'll get it.
I just mean like, well, what? How else? How are you gonna find your way into my hotel room? What is it you're suggesting, sir?
More.
That's where I was going, but it didn't get there. Because while I can find longer words and the more diplomatic, wordy way of saying things, I often fail at flirting. So.
You're doing pretty good. That's why I can.
That was actually genius.
That's the best way.
Thank you. You've unwounded me from all the times that you said I sounded like Peterson.
Thank you. Just clean your room. Ocean, do it.
Just clean your room.
All right. Oh. No, that's fine.
Jamie, is your bed made? You got to make your bed. You got to make sure you make your bed. Oh, he's a beast. Damn it. All right.
Like, I don't want you now.
Keep going.
Oh,
it's
just
be careful. If Jamie pops a boner, we know something's wrong.
It's more of the metaphor.
Right.
Of different ways that the conversation can go, obviously, but we're going to explore your ability of flirting now. How hard have you embraced your masculinity?
That's creepy. That's just outright creepy. Who is that? Is that Ocean or Apologia?
That means that you have a good levels of testosterone. You know, the team implied hierarchy defined by lobsters.
I was just about to ask you about.
Oh yeah, I'm a lobster. I have a lobster costume in my closet.
You were very offended.
This is the greatest night ever.
You were red in the face.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Oh, okay. I'm a little drunk.
Well, we have to think about it. There's a large mythology involving lobsters and their hierarchy, and it applies to your masculinity very well. I see. You've turned red like a lobster, and it's beautiful.
That's time to clean your room.
What?
Clean your room. In with the clean your room.
Oh, yes. And it will help you. It will aid you in the lifelong pursuit of having a clean goddamn.
Cheers. Yeah. You know what? Healthy steak with you.
All right.
I'm not
that
sure
was too good.
Reply to that. Yes.
I will be in your hotel room a little later.
I will hold you to that.
Yes. There will be. Thank you for having me on.
Yes. Come on. Go without God.
All right.
Everyone, given this thing, want Darth Vader? Let me know.
I'll take you. We can do that.
Smash on in.
Smash on in.
Oh, God. That's a horrible feeling. I'm going to take another one of your beer.
No, I don't care.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'll get it back to you.
No, I don't want you.
Sure.
I'm standing. At least 10 more beer.
Yeah.
This is Ocean's dream come true.
And
I can't hear you, Steve. What did you say?
I said this is your dream come true between Kyle and Chris. Like you like being the middleman. It's like an ocean sandwich.
Steve, how long have we been going?
Oh, is there
besides too damn long? We are at 96 minutes, sir.
I'm breaking up before
we're giving 96 minutes. That's not that bad. No, it's not bad at all.
No, we're doing good.
Yeah. No. Okay, so has your services co-host for
Camera
you have a podcast.
Yeah.
You have a channel now.
Yes.
Are you putting just started?
Sure. It exists. There's four videos on there currently that I've made myself, damn it. It's mostly debates that I've done from other channels, including yours. So but what I'm doing now is I'm uploading things as more pagan specific content. But it's a lot of stuff that can be like cross. There's a lot of crossover between the way that I'm putting it. And,
sure.
Within the atheist community as well. So
now, are you a Merlin type pagan or are you a Von Helton type pagan?
I hate Von Helton with a passion. Merlin, I could probably get along with. The
but, do you really think that Von Helton is a pagan?
No. And I've gotten into huge fights with Von Helton before, like just flat out red in the face,
it's
screaming
the cape, right?
Crap.
It's the cape.
It's the cape. It's partially the cape. It's the gaudy. I've gone through pictures of him and just been like, no, we need Von Helton. I don't care what you believe, what you follow, but we got to talk about your style, dude.
Yeah.
Like
he's a pagan in a cape in a racing chair.
Yeah.
He looks like a Walmart signature.
And I care more about the cape than the racing chair.
Ocean, is Von Helton no longer a 300-year-old vampire? Or did he
Von Helton is like the man Von Helton, or it is my cafeteria worker lady that from elementary school. They look identical.
I've never seen any of this shit.
He's on the Geek Room tonight.
No. Yeah, he's going on the Geek Room.
Oh, really?
I posted something on the lines of, like, why.
He's right. Hey, take Rand Campbell and Ocean. Yeah. Imagine Rand Campbell running and punching up one of those Mario boxes, then the star comes out.
Yes.
And Rand grabs the star.
See,
and
he starts running. You were asking what's next.
Shannon had a conversation with Von Helton. They've talked. Shannon had a Let's Talk About Q. Let's talk about you with Shannon Q on my channel with Von Helton.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did, didn't
you're
you?
Wrong.
No, she didn't.
You tried to arrange it. Never happened.
It never happened.
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's right. It got shut down. Okay, you're right.
Who would remember it happened?
Oh,
there is no way.
Yeah, hang on. No, in my timeline before the Mandela effect kick in. That happened. This is a different quantum reality.
Steve's wrong about something.
People say, like,
we have proven Steve wrong on air.
You seem to love Shannon, yet you do this.
Well, why do I remember something that didn't happen? I'm the sober one here.
But like, she's brilliant in those conversations, and as painful as they are, she asks questions that most people don't. And people want to see that.
Yeah, she did an hour and a half conversation with me.
I'm still not okay.
You talk about that? This is the funny thing that I was saying about Ocean. Okay, we think that Christians are kooky because they have a belief in that deity or whatever. He has more than one.
Yeah.
Yet we consider him really cool, like he's a friend of ours.
He's not a douchebag.
How does that work?
As if I'm, I guess
well, he's not a douchebag.
Jim got it.
That's why.
He's not a douche.
I mean, he's not a douche.
And that's it.
He's not condescending, and he engages in rational argumentation.
More comfortable.
Fuck Ocean.
There we go. I could give you a compliment right out of my comment section if you'd like.
Oh, what? Oh, boy.
Would you like?
I'm scared for two reasons. One,
Chris, stroke him. Come on, Chris, stroke him. You know we want it. Stroke him.
It could be definitely not a nice comment at all.
Which is never been called a discount garden gnome.
The other, yeah, with discount garden gnome, that was a good one.
Yeah, it really was. It really, really was.
The other reason is that it might include like risque fan art or something like that. Or
include risque fan art. It is risque fan art.
There is that one. Yeah, and like the
there's
time
fan art of you proposing to be with 200 foreskins. What more do you want?
It was 400 foreskins. Don't you forget
it. It was
ready to
it
say.
200. I have one that can beat that. And that somebody drew me naked on a bathroom floor, covered in milk and cereal. But the foreskins win.
And the sir has big hearts in his eyes.
Actually,
and everything.
That's realistic.
Can I give you some trivia, though? Listen to this. Now, this is a true story.
Oh, yeah, no, there's actual tentacle porn in
back
there, too. I forgot about that.
Back in the day,
like I repressed it.
I never thought I would say this. But speaking of foreskin, let me tell you.
Okay.
Give me a foreskin.
I like a foreskin.
Back in the day.
Just leave it there.
They first got a telescope to be able to see the rings of Saturn. Okay? This is a true story.
What does that have to do with foreskin?
No, listen, I'm telling you.
Oh, it has everything to do with foreskin.
A Vatican official or whatever
look at that, and then declare that that the rings around Saturn was the ascended foreskin of Jesus.
And, fuck off right now.
Google it.
Stop it.
Google it.
I'm not.
Google it.
That was stop it, Kyle. Stop it.
I fully endorse this theology.
Paul, Google it.
As long as you don't add, it will be safe as long as you don't add Chan anywhere in the title. You'll be fine.
You actually think I'm actually going to type Saturn foreskin into my goddamn Google?
Oh, yes, you do. Oh, and you want the ads that will come from there.
I just want the algorithm to know that that's
Okay, Vatican foreskin. No, wait, no, that's definitely wrong. Vatican foreskin, no.
It's called the Holy Prepuce.
Yes! Yes!
Stop your fucking
lies. No! It's true. What? It's absolutely a thing. It's on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Jim's
leaving. Jim's done. He's done.
Stop it.
Okay. I'm sorry that I'm making a video on this now. This hits all
number
the nails
one.
On the head. Does it hit all the nails on the head in that one video I sent you? Does no, it does not.
I don't know where the thing is.
Yeah, but there it is.
There's Jesus' foreskin.
I went back and looked at my search history from 2 years ago. Just because I'm curious. In the same day, I Googled gummy bears, duct tape, and hammer. You tell me why.
Wait.
Tell me why.
ASMR?
Wait, for hammer. Why are you looking up hammers? That's our thing.
I don't know.
Well, hammer. Tell me gummy bears.
It literally is a thing. It says here, that was really hard to read for the people couldn't see it. It says,
have with the gummy bears, whack him with the hammer, and tuck them up with. I'm talking too much.
If they couldn't see what you're showing, so let me read what it says. It says, after being lost for almost 1,500 years, Christ's foreskin, known as the Holy Prepuce, was discovered in the small Roman town of Calcutta, disproving a theory by the 17th century theologian Leo Altieris that it ascended into heaven to become the rings of Saturn. So they actually disproved that there was the rings of Saturn by claiming they discovered Christ's foreskin in a small Roman town.
Thor is not circumcised.
There's definitely not a 5-page legend. You
cannot make this shit up.
Take a look. Just inspect his hammer real quick. It'll be fine.
Are you guys doing?
Oh, I would call it a first.
That's Jesus' foreskin.
Wow.
The Holy Prepuce. Yes, the Holy Prepuce.
Okay. It was just a blur.
I can see Jesus being circumcised, but Thor, like, I don't see anybody having the balls to cut his stuff off.
He did it himself. He did it himself with a hammer.
Where am I?
What is happening? This is what happens when you hang out with atheists.
People
laugh
and it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Actually started to question my
life.
Yeah.
Right. Is that the Mormon? Ocean leaves Thor, but the Holy Prepuce of the rings of Saturn, that's too far.
I know you're talking about Jesus and getting foreskin being the rings of Saturn. I would have left out that window.
There's the Gideon Bible. And there's the Book of Mormon. I'm going to have to confiscate those.
Ocean, do you have any final thoughts for the audience as we come to a close?
This was a mistake.
This is a terrible fight, but yes.
Because we're talking about Saturn.
Everyone realizes that.
It was all fun until the foreskin.
Hey, but Kyle did Dallas.
Kyle did Dallas. All of Dallas?
Did you not see my thumbnail for this?
I saw your thumbnail.
You remember how the movie, that movie ended? Yeah, so,
How was the doing of Dallas?
Did you see the thumbnail for it?
I have not yet, but it has wonderful knowledge.
It's my most.
You should change that. It's too much cleavage, man. I would assume Dougie's
He's too much cleavage.
You should use the picture Paul shows you
thumbnail.
Change it.
I should. What did you show me?
Jesus foreskin.
I love how I came in first watching Rachel Oates one. Yes.
No.
I have some wonderful cleavage.
Does anybody in the room have any
eight out of foreskin with motorboat
parting words for here?
What are we doing? Oh yeah, we're putting this on camera.
No, I'm afraid.
Shannon, you've been on camera multiple times. You're okay.
No, I'm not afraid to be
here. Shannon, point to yourself.
How does?
Paul, I tell you what. Listen, we're gonna go around. and we're going to say the one thing that we are happy about the most about everybody being together.
I just got recognized in an elevator by somebody I've never met in my life who...
Okay, Diva, slow down. I'm kidding.
I'm a fucking bike.
Sorry, my God.
I just got recognized in an elevator by somebody I've never met in my life for the first time. He said that they subscribed to my channel and that they were really excited to see me and that it meant something to them. And that was really cool. So I took a lot, I took time to chat with them in the hallway because that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
They took time out of their, they take time out of their day to watch me and they took time out of their life to come here and see us.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Like, that matters. That's absolutely why we all do this. So that's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow, is talking to all those people who took a day and paid for tickets to come and talk to us because it means something to them. Because I was them and still am.
Absolutely. I do it for the abuse that I get from Smitty.
I love all you guys, like brothers with benefits.
Brothers? I like what you did there. I like what you did there. Oh, God. Listen, buckle down the cute. You have to warn people before you get that cute. Okay, they're not ready.
You're next, Kyle. You're fine.
Yeah. Oh. We gotta go.
It's just really great just to be able to see everybody that I've started building these relationships with online, and just being able to, you know, see them face to face and just get to know a whole new dimension of their personality and just be able to connect with them in a whole new way, and just knowing that whenever we leave here that we're going to have even stronger connections than we did before. It's really, yeah, great.
Now, did you drive or did your mustache?
Half and half.
Hell yeah. Mr. Prop of Zod.
Again?
I forgot. Just say something.
thankful for.
Yeah. What do you like? What do you like about being here the most?
Are you as thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ as I am?
Yeah. It was nice to meet everybody, but I'm most thankful to learn that they thought Saturn was Jesus' foreskin.
Hell yes. That's why I love this band.
There's a video.
That's what I'll remember in the long.
By the way, the biggest mystery of all is when you have a face like that, why do you hide it with static?
Isn't it pretty?
Yes. It looks like you just walked off of a set of a soap opera.
You want me to show the sacred mask on the show?
Yes. Yes.
I would like to.
Oh, wow.
Period in general.
It's the holy.
Well, you guys in for a treat. The sacred mask.
Shut your face. Is that really what it is?
That. So this is.
You chroma key it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes, he chroma keys it.
And I actually made a hole, so I won't be totally blind.
Now, head bob. So what was it? Let me ask you this. Why did you decide on that costume? Like, what was it about why did you go with the static face?
Because I stumbled into YouTube like an idiot and it just seemed fun, so I did it, and then I got stuck with it.
That sounds like most of our.
I wanted to do a Rorschach face, but you couldn't really follow it, and static just blinks wherever you're at, so you don't have to worry about where it's positioned. So
it really turned out cool, I think. And the thing I like about it the most is the North Face jacket. I think that's a sweet touch to it.
I even went and found one of my old, when I roasted you. I drew a face. Like with crayon that was like all staticky when we did the Geek Room roast, and I went through all my old shit until I could find a jacket that like zipped up.
I just say that during that roast, the one between you two was almost uncomfortable because of how freaking polite you were.
I know.
Both of you.
Canadians can't roast. Come on, this is a deficit they have. It's against their laws, and I think, in a couple of provinces.
You're supposed to make people question your friendship.
You know, everybody else
is
like,
there's a picture, and I hope people still have it, because I saw a picture this week of the Prophet of Zod. Did you see the makeshift static face? Oh, it was awesome.
No, where was it?
Where did you put that?
It was on the speakers chat.
Go back and look. You will piss yourself watching.
Like airport pickup chat, like that one.
You're on Zod's bed, by the way, so don't piss yourself. Actually.
Well, it'll be.
Sirs, awesome. What's your answer?
No, it's in the Twitter.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I agree.
That's deep, man.
This was
profound. Very profound. Where's the live by?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he posted this like how he would do in real life static face.
I bounce between whether or not I'm happy with my life choices, knowing who I associate with, and then being incredibly happy with it, and it's an everyday dilemma.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. Look at you.
That's what I say.
Ocean. I am really happy with like being able to meet all these people that I've like. It's very similar to Jim's position that like I've been building these relationships with these people online for so long, and now like you're not avatars anymore. Right. You're real fucking people, and it's crazy.
We're not convinced of that. Oh, yeah, we're not convinced. Yeah.
I'm a horrible camera. Real. Like this. All right, everybody. Good night.
Even more beard. But yeah, but that's like it's really cool to suddenly be like in there. Like I was talking to somebody and gave them my phone number, and then as soon as it was like, yeah, they confirmed. Oh yeah, Ocean. Okay, cool. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get tackle hug glomped by Shannon, who I didn't even realize was there. It was boom. Like, all of a sudden, it was okay. Cool.
The anime nerd in me died a little bit when you said that.
Yeah.
Right. No, exactly. I used the word.
Yeah, you did.
I warned you, and I wasn't kidding.
By the way, I apologize, everyone. That this last couple minutes is turning out to be like the Blair Witch Project of atheism.
Yes.
Don't tell God we're here.
Yes.
Don't tell God we're here.
All right. I'm going downstairs and touch up.
But we're gonna close out here. Steve, do you have any last minute?
You know what? The only thing I'm grateful for is 5G. I will say that. We do have super chats we'll get to. Now what you guys need to decide on, you guys need to go have a LAN party and decide what game you're going to play. That should really have some Discord. Yeah.
I am thankful that there are people who are just as batshit crazy as I am and who love you guys who watch and appreciate the hard conversations. All these people are great. They're geniuses. They're beautiful. They have really good content, really great content. Is that buttering up enough for you, Jim? I just want a mustache ride. Good night, everybody. That's a good end. That's a good end. I am drunk.
Yes, you are. Yes. You are. Oh, all right, let's see if we can get some of these super chats out of the way real quick, Dave, before we end this. Bye, guys. Have fun. Enjoy. Bye. Be safe. Nobody drive. No drinking and driving. There you go. Okay, let's get these out real quick so the rest of us can go home and start get our drink on, because after that, we all need to start drinking, some of us excessively. So we've got here, Yurnan Roderick, $2. Did Kyle borrow Nathan Thompson's potato? Yeah, well, that wasn't the best camera work. Again, they're on Marriott Wi-Fi. We've all been in hotels. We know that Wi-Fi is spotty. 0132132666. Who would win in a fight, objectively Dan or allegedly Dave? You know what? We might have to have that happen. That would be a good matchup, actually, dude. Kiwasa, holy shit, Kyle's jacked. Yeah, Kyle's in good shape. You guys may not know this, but Kyle goes to the gym quite frequently. Yeah, he does work out, so... Trupain for $5 says South Korea is banning gasoline powered cars next year. I don't know how they're going to get away with that. I mean, obviously I've been to South Korea. A lot of it is bicycle powered and they have mopeds and things of that nature. And they are some of the worst drivers I've ever seen in South Korea. I'm sorry, but they, I don't know how they don't have more accidents. They really, they're just weaving in and out. And, it might be a good thing they're getting rid of cars because they are really aggressive drivers in South Korea. Kiwasa again, we are. Smiley? No, is that what kind of emoji is that? Kwasa? Is that surprise? We are surprised. There we go. Trevin Hudson, $2. How many people intellectually climax tonight? You know, at my age, it takes a lot to do that, but this was up there. It was very reminiscent of the first Dallas movie. I guess if you guys remember that, it might be before your time. But that was with Debbie, not Kyle. Vibrantly Brantley, $5. I love you, Kyle, Shannon, Cirrus, Ocean, Paul, PZ, and the rest. So, again, I'm included with the rest. This evening, refresh this. Make sure we got anything else. Anything in live chat you guys got for me? Let me know now. We're going to be ending this tonight. This was actually fun. I couldn't be with them for obvious reasons. Just couldn't make it this year. Maybe next year I might. I am faithless, so I do qualify. I can definitely go. And I love to hang out with all those people. I'm almost very envious. I got to meet a lot of the people that they got to hang out with. So if we don't have any questions, then I'm going to just end this. I'm going to start drinking. I recommend everybody else do this as well. Guys, be safe. I think this weekend, obviously, there's no Patreon thing tomorrow because Kyle's out of town. But Sunday, Kyle, from what I understand, will be on Talk Heathen. Make sure you watch it. Get the message out to Darth Dawkins to go call. I would love to see that. I might actually even message him myself and let him know, because I want to see if he's brave enough to actually call, because I know Kyle and Jamie could smash him. But it'd be entertaining. So there is no after show tonight. I am literally going to have a drink, though, and have a good night, guys. Dave, thank you for everything, and we'll see you next week.
Good night, guys. Thank you.